We're in our All In series, and this is our final week. I know. So the title of this message today is All Access. All Access. Which reminds me of three men who thought they could make a difference. First, there was a Jewish rabbi, and then there was a Catholic priest, and then there was a preacher. Each one decided, watch me, because I'll show you how to access making a difference in life. So they decide to walk into the closest forest and go and lead a bear to Jesus. So the Catholic priest goes first, and he goes in there, and then followed by the preacher, and finally the Jewish rabbi. After a while, they all come back, and they get together, and they talk about their experiences. The Catholic said, "Ah, it was amazing. Next week, I'm going to lead the bear in Holy Communion." The preacher said, "That's nothing. I preached the bear's paws off, and he got water baptized in the local river." Both the Catholic priest and the preacher then looked down on the ground, and there was the Jewish rabbi in a full body cast. And the Jewish rabbi says, "Maybe I should not have started with circumcision." These are the jokes, people. Come on, let's pray. We need help. God, we thank you that you are the help we need. Thank you, you are ever-present help in time of need. And Lord, help us to understand your word, apply it. Lord, help us to read it. And help us to make it alive as we open up the Word of God together. And everybody said,
Amen.
When we started this series, we looked at what it means to be all in, and every family has a culture. In my family and in my household, we have a culture. And it usually revolves around food. Amen, somebody. And when you're at my table, and I'm cooking, you had better appreciate what's being served. If you do not appreciate what's being served at my table, I guarantee you, I will punish you. Because every family has a culture. And I'll start with this story. One of my children who shall remain nameless, I have two teenagers. One of my children was complaining about the steak that I had cooked for them. Imagine that. I'm sorry if you're a vegetarian here today, but if you are, please don't be offended, but that just gives more meat for me. I appreciate your conviction. And that day, she was not appreciating what I... Uh-oh. Not appreciating it. And so, I changed the way I prepared the food and ordered, instead of a beautiful fillet steak, a rump steak. And if you've never had one of those steaks, there's nothing wrong with that steak, but it was full of gristle and fat, And so I said, "If you ever complain about my food again, you shall eat that for the rest of your life." Why? Because every family has a culture and every family has values. I don't know what values that you have, but one of the values now that I have thought about and been intentional about was the value of teaching my family, my children, how to respond and how to access together the things of God. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19 puts this phrase, and it says, "You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. The keys to open any and every door, no more barriers between heaven and earth and earth and heaven. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven, and a no on earth is a no in heaven." In other words, I wanted to put it to us this way, that, and this is really what I wanted to unpack, that all of us have all access to all of God all the time. All of us have all access to all of God all of the time, because there is no external barrier between you and God, your heavenly Father, who loves you completely. No external barriers. And behind me, I have a good old Bradford Council bin. And what God does, God in Jesus, And there's, of course, we looked at this and we've been talking about this. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And because of what Jesus did, God the Son, he removed the external barriers between us and our Heavenly Father. That's good news, isn't it? I said that's good news. When the external barrier is removed, that means that we have no lid, no ceiling in our life. And I think what God is asking us to be for each other is to help each other access how good God is by being what I would call a lid lifter. And when you lift the lid, what happens is... you now have created access. You have access.
Thank you.
Because of the lid being lifted. Now, all of us have had that lid lifted if we accept Christ as our Savior. The problem is that there is no external barrier, but there are still internal barriers that we carry. The internal barriers of fear, the internal barriers of worry, or they can be sickness, or they can be financial stress, or they can be challenges. Hang in there, don't let your internal barrier get you. Can struggle you, and at times what that means is you sink down back into your sorrow. And it's almost like there's a lid over your life again. Now, there is no lid over your life. But what's so important to understand about access is that you could spend the rest of your life coming to church on a Sunday, but having internal issues on a Monday to Saturday. You could spend the rest of your life struggling with your insecurities or your inferiorities. And I don't have time to develop this, but I'm going to talk about this in a few weeks. I'm going to talk about how the devil, your enemy, wants you to live the rest of your life with your own internal securities, lying to you because all of the barriers are removed. That's a fact. There is no separation. That's why the Bible says this, that nothing can separate you from the love of God that is Christ Jesus. Neither height nor depth, neither angels nor demons, neither principalities or powers. So I'm going to say, young man, get out of that bin. You got it? I got you. Shall I help you tip out? Now, what God just did was he removed, you can leave that there, please. Leave it there. I'm helping you rest. You can leave now. Thank you. Thank you. What God wanted to do was remove the barrier externally between us and him. In other words, that vertical relationship has now been healed. But after the vertical relationship is healed between us and God, now we got some work to do with each other. Now we got some work to do with the family of God. Now we got to work to do working out what it means to be brothers and sisters in Christ. Our access to God means that we have access to each other. And the access to each other is the area that I wanted to start with, because this barrier has also been removed. And like I said earlier, the access to each other changes in our own family environment. So what that means is I've determined as a father to my natural children that my household will be a household where I tell my children and I tell my wife that I love them. And that may not seem like a big deal, but if you've never been told regularly that you've been loved, that you are loved, when you get in that environment and you begin to declare that you are loved and you tell your children why you love them, that's a lid lifter. That's a lid lifter over their lives. And for every single one of us, that we should give thought to the kind of culture that we create. So we hug in my family. Do you hug in your family? Yeah. Do you high-five each other? Do you celebrate the wins in your family? We're a rowdy family. We're a noisy family. And there's something about the culture that we have in our house that affects the culture that we have in our house. In our house, When one person says, amen, that's entirely different than when everyone says,
amen.
In our house, when one person claps, we should all clap. And I say that not to make everybody respond a certain way, but to help people who have never told anyone or are not used to receiving the love of God. I have a cell phone, and at the moment I'm wearing a microphone, but if I don't have this microphone on, which has a built-in receiver, it doesn't send the signal to the PA desk, and you won't be able to hear me. And in that same way, when people are damaged by each other, our inner receiver becomes damaged, sometimes even destroyed. Our inner receiver means that when God or someone else talks to us about our worth and about how worthy we are, not because of our talent or our ability, but because how much it cost Jesus to remove our external barrier, how much it cost him, he gave us everything that he had, so that you and I could not just be restored to our Heavenly Father, but they could be restored to each other. And just this Friday, it was my mother who has gone to be with the Lord. It was her 76th birthday. The years are slipping by. And I found myself thinking about my mom, who died some years ago, thinking about her. And as I'm thinking, and I told my children about, you know, today is my mom's 76th birthday. And, you know, I was affected by it a little bit. Anybody affected by loss here? Anybody affected by some of the things that you know that have really challenged you? As I'm there reflecting and thinking about it, my daughter just walked over. She's 16. Gave me the biggest hug and just squeezed me. And I thought to myself, that's the culture that we need. You see, there's a time when you just need somebody not to tell you what the right answer is, not to tell you how she'd respond, but just put arms around you and give you a great big hug and let you know how loved you are. There's a moment for that that's so powerful. And that leads me to my first point. I've only got three. And my first point is this: to have access to God, we have to accept each other. To have access to God, we have to accept each other. There's a lot of Bible that I'm skipping over that I wanted to talk about, but I'm just gonna focus on this one scripture in 1 Corinthians 1:4-5, where it says, every time I think of you, and I think of you often, I thank God for your lives that are free and open access to God given by Jesus. Now this scripture, this Bible passage was written by someone called Paul. And we looked at Paul last week. And here's Paul talking about having access to God and access to each other. But let's dive in now and pick up Acts chapter 9. And I looked at this a little bit last week because I want to look at how this is outworked in the Bible. And here we have the Apostle Paul. He starts in Acts 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. How many people would love to have someone for dinner, for lunch today, who's breathing out murderous threats against you? Okay, this is gossip at another level. You know, sometimes we struggle when people say things about us or to us that are hurtful. And here's this leader, not just saying hurtful things, but actually killing people and actually persecuting them. And so what God begins to do is he gets involved in his world. And first, Jesus breaks in and he talks about this. He says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I looked at this last week. And Saul literally collapses, seeing a blinding light, and hears the voice of Jesus. But I wanted to pick the story up and what happens next. After Saul's blind and after he's led into this place and this location called Straight Street. There at Straight Street, we want to focus on what happens next. And as he's there and he's contemplating what's happened, he's also blind. I'm picking this story up in verse 10. The city was called Damascus, and there was a disciple called Ananias. The Lord called to Ananias in a vision. And so Ananias said, yes, Lord. The Lord told Ananias, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying, and in a vision, he has seen a man called Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem and how he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. I love Ananias because here we have his wrestle. His external barrier has been removed. Saul's external barrier has been removed. But Ananias is struggling with a prejudice against Saul, a fear against Saul. And can I just say there was a reason why? Because this was a real thing. And now God was dealing with Ananias' prejudice by revealing to him in a vision, go and see Saul. So Saul complains about it, and I love God's response. God's response is simply two letters, go. That's it.
Go. And now there's more instruction. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles.
You know that's how God speaks, right? My best James Earl Jones impression. Now, Ananias has to struggle with this now. Now, his external barrier has been removed, and now it's being tested. His fear is being tested. I believe that we go through things in life sometimes that test our relationship with God. And these tests are very important to understand, because here's Ananias. He's in this test, go, and he's in a place now, he's out there going to put his obedience to God above his own feelings, and he's either going to go and obey what God is asking him to do, or he's going to withdraw and disobey what God is going to do. And that's why the Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. In other words, it's better to obey God the first time than have to say, sorry, 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 sacrifice, and make it up the second time. And so here he is working out his relationship with God, and he actually goes. He makes the journey, he goes to Straight Street, and suddenly we pick the story up in verse 17. When he sees Saul, you don't see the wrestle anymore. You don't hear his wrestle anymore. He doesn't say, Saul, don't kill me. No, he goes and he says, brother. Whatever conflict he had, he left behind. Whatever internal struggle he had, he rested it between him and God, so that when he obeyed God, he literally turned up and said, brother, Saul, and he puts his hand on Saul, and something incredible happens. Now, I wanted to focus on this a little bit, because every single one of us, because of our access to God, are therefore in a place where God can use us powerfully. But here's the problem. Many of us see this word, and the word is called disqualified. Disqualified is the thing that separates where you really are from your internal barriers, from your external barriers. And when you feel disqualified, what you need is a lid lifter to come around you and remind you, you are not disqualified. Your own efforts, your own, sometimes you know, your talent's not enough, sometimes your finances are not enough, sometimes your energy is not enough, and in those moments when I'm feeling like that, I remind myself, I am not disqualified, I am qualified, I'm qualified because of what Christ Jesus has done for me. He has paid a debt that I could never pay. He has paid the price of my mistakes and your mistakes, and therefore I stand here today, and not the words of Steve, but standing in the power of the Holy Spirit to let you know you are qualified, not because of your own efforts, but because of what Jesus has done to lift the lids on your life. Now that I've said that, I want to let you know that once the lid is lifted, never, never, never let the lid come over your life again. And that's why my second point is this. All of God is available and accessible. All of God. So here's Ananias, and he's praying for Saul, and as he prays for Saul, brother Saul, scales fall from his eyes, and at that moment, Saul can see. He'd been blind for 3 days, and now he can see. I don't know if Ananias had ever seen a miracle like that before, but what I do know is simply this. From that moment on, Ananias never appears again in Scripture. This was his one moment to make a difference, but the impact of what he did in that moment helped transform somebody who was a terrorist into one of the mightiest teachers of the Bible that have ever lived. And in Acts chapter 22, I want you to turn there with me. Acts chapter 22, I want you to look at what Saul said, who then becomes Paul, about Ananias. And this is the only other time Ananias is mentioned. And this is Saul telling the story. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews. He stood beside me and said, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And at that very moment, I was able to see. Verse 16, "What are you waiting for?" Ananias said, "Saul, get up and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name." I say that because Saul needed access to God. And the access he needed was forgiveness. His access to God, his external barrier was removed, but his internal barriers must have been him thinking about the people that he persecuted, killed, the things that he had delivered and damaged in his life, the mistakes that he had made, and all of those things. And the answer for Saul, Ananias had. And his ability for Ananias to say, "Saul, you need to understand that you are free. So therefore, let's get you water baptized." And Saul rises up and he gets water baptized. And just in a few weeks, we're going to water baptize here on a Sunday morning. And if you're here and you need freedom in any way, it's a great moment for you to be water baptized so that you understand what it means to wash your sins away. And here's Saul in this moment, needing that access, needing that ability. And I say that because I know that there are people here today, and I want to remind you, you have complete and total access to God. Complete and total access. If I were to tell you right now that underneath one of the chairs is a prepaid card, and that prepaid debit card has £1 million in it, and it's underneath one of the seats in the middle, you'd be like, "Whoa, where is it? Where is it?" You'd be like, "I'm gonna get in there. Where's that card?" You'd be digging it over. You'd be looking for that card. You'd be like putting Bibles away and pushing people away because you wanna find that card. How silly would it be if you then find the card and you have it and you put it in your purse or you put it in your wallet and you've got it and you carry it around. And you also have the 4-digit code to unlock and get the code out for the card, but then you never use it. And a bill comes and you say, "Well, you know, it's another bill. How am I gonna pay for this?" You have the resources in your purse. The problem is a woman's purse is like a black hole and no one can find anything in a woman's purse. But that's okay, men. If you're like me, I put my wallet down someplace, I can never find it. It's this ability to connect with not just what God has promised, but with what you have access to right now. You have access to God. God's not trying to get anything from you. He's not trying to take things from you. He's trying to position you to understand that you're a son and a daughter of the Most High. He wants to bless you. We read about that earlier, that Psalm 23 was referred to in the worship, that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And I put to you today that we have something so much more valuable than earthly treasure. We have something so much more valuable than material possessions. And this is good news, that all of us, despite our background, all of us, despite our upbringing, have the same access to God. And yet the enemy always tells us what we don't have. It's his tactic to remind us what we don't have in the bank account, what we don't have in the relational account with each other, what we don't have in our marriage, what we don't have with our teenagers. But you have access to your heavenly Father. So that means you gain access to all of God's attributes. Is there anybody here who needs to know God the healer? You have access to God, the healer in Christ Jesus. Healing is yours because you're a son or daughter of God. It's your inheritance. It belongs to you. Does anyone need an answer to prayer for someone that's far from God? Well, there's promises of God about that too, that you and your household shall be saved. There's promises of God that despite the fears in the world today, that you can sleep at night in perfect peace because his peace sustains you. And it's this attributes of God that we have to understand as Christians, that we have access to that 24/7, 365. We have access to all that God is. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, verse 19 says this, "And now, because we were united in Christ, we both have equal and direct access." Okay, that's good news, isn't it? Okay, let's unpack that, because I know I'm reading a lot of Bible and I'm teaching a little bit. Now, what that means is this. That means your access to God depends on your attitude to God. You have access, but you have to apply yourself to gain that access. And that access is not a credit card. That access is not a bank account. Newsflash, the access is not even a Sunday morning experience. Your access is your relationship to the risen, resurrected Lord. That's your access. Some of us get this. Some of us, let me help everybody, that your access to God doesn't depend on the length of time you spend reading the Bible. Your access to God doesn't depend on how you raise your hands and how long you raise your hands. Your access to God doesn't depend on fasting or prayer or external things. But your access to God will determine all of those responses to who God is. Your access to him will be accompanied by a revelation. When you know, when the bill comes, I know that God loves me so much, he counts the hairs on my head and the hairs that I've lost and the hairs that are turning gray. I know all of that. And so I'm not fearing this bill or the gas bill or the credit card bill, because I know that my God shall provide all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I know that he will bless my life. And so when you bump into me and these things start to pressure me, what comes out is the word of God that's been put in me. And I've been in places where there's been so much pressure and so much stress, the best thing I do, and I've done this many times, I'll walk out of the room, out of a crowd of people, and I'll find a quiet place. I'll literally sometimes even go into a bathroom and close the door, and I'll begin to pray in the Spirit, and I'll pray about the situation, and I'll declare the word of God over my situation. Why? Because it helps me understand that I have access, there's no external barriers, but I'm reminding my internal self that my internal life does not depend on my own strength, but depends on his strength, his ability, and his divine power. 2 Peter 1:3 says this, "For his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through our true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has bestowed on us his precious and magnificent promises of inexpressible value." That is the word of God to us. His divine power does not depend on your ability. But when you experience his divine power by faith, you lift your hand and you give praise to God in the middle of your circumstances. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. You've got to turn the amplification up. In the middle of your storm, you sing a little louder. Why? Because if you don't sing louder, the pressures of the world are going to come over you. And the lids, you're going to feel the lid, and the lid's coming back down again. And you can feel it coming back down again. No, be the lid lifter and say, "I will praise my God because he's the lifter of my head." My final point is this. You have access to God for all that you need, all of the time. Not just on your best day. Not just on your up days, not just when everything's going well for you, but you have access to God in your weakest moments. Sometimes in your weakest moments, when you don't even have strength to get out of bed in the morning. Anybody been there? I've been there. All you can do is open your eyes. Thank God, are you here? Lord, I'm tired, broken. I need you, God. I need you. The moment when you experience so many pressures in life and you feel like you're being bombarded by every direction, you can just take a knee and bow a knee. Remind yourself, I'm not on my own. He's not left me on my own. I'm in a great church. I'm surrounded by brothers and sisters, people who love me, care for me, praying for me. Waking up at 7 in the morning, corporate prayer meetings, praying for me. I'm not on my own. I'm not on my own. I'm not on my own. I have access to brothers and sisters, spiritual moms and dads. I'm not on my own. I'm not on my own. I'm speaking to somebody right now and you're listening to this and you're in your sick bed and you're not physically here, but you're here watching. You're not on your own. Because Jesus died so that we could never be alone. I'm saying that because there's a lie that says that we'll never measure up. We're not good enough. We're not perfect enough. God's not looking for our perfection. Our imperfections are so that he can love us more perfectly. He's not looking for you to say the right things or do the right things. He just loves who you are right now, and he doesn't want to leave you where you are. He wants to lead you into greater days of promises. Together. Together, Life Church. Together, this is our best life. Together, this is how we grow from where we are to who we're becoming in Christ. And it's exciting and it's dynamic. And God's adding people to us. Why? Because God cares about every situation we're going through in life. So I'm asking you a question. What would you do? What would you do if you had everything you ever needed? How would you respond? How would you live your day knowing that you have complete and total access to God? How would it change the week, the month, the rest of the year? How would it change your private conversations and your private thinking, knowing that Jesus died and is right here for you, resurrected and ascended and ready to help you, not to judge you, not to condemn you, but to set you free? That kind of access, that kind of complete, total, open heaven that we're living in is not imagination. It's not something I'm trying to manipulate. It's a fact. It's a fact for every one of us today that there is no barrier, no hindrance, no obstacle. There is no string that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And what that means is this. What that means is that all of us have access to all of God all of the time. All of the time. All of the time. Which means right now in this room, whatever access point you need, God is here. Whatever you need from him, it's right here available. And I'm going to do something a little bit different as we finish today, which is just simply this, that worship team are going to come and help me and lead us in a worship song. And as they come, I'm going to close by doing this. I'm going to ask that if you need anything from God, any access, that you would stand to your feet and just ask God for that help. And if there's anyone here who is sick or anyone else who needs any kind of prayer in any ways, I'm going to ask you to just come to the front. Our prayer team's here, and we're just going to stand and pray with you. Why? Because we actually mean. We actually can make a difference today by standing and belonging together. Can you say amen, church? Amen. Hey, thank you so much for watching. We pray to God that you've been impacted by how great God's word is, by how great God's plan is for your life. But I do want to say, if you need prayer for anything, then drop us a line, drop us an email. We would love to hear from you so that we can pray for you and just continue on this journey of building life together. Have a great week, month, year ahead.